Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
A superstar retires, Jeff Hardy returns, and we discuss royalty checks. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
The Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Santino Marella retires. And what's going on with this, Aaron?
Yeah, so a couple weeks ago, I think he listened to the show and he heard that I said he was the worst person to ever hold the IC title. And so I think that he decided it was time to retire.
I do believe that he listens to the show. He was just a little bit upset about that comment, but then he realized he must be right. So
that was the best Santino impression I've heard all night.
He does an excellent job of it. So what's the deal? Why is the WWE pushing the network so much? Do you have any idea?
Let's actually talk about Santino just for a moment.
All right.
He is having his third neck surgery. He's obviously in a lot of pain, and he does not want to be paralyzed. So he is retiring for that reason. I do want to ask you, though, are you going to miss Santino?
Nope.
I am not either, so I don't believe that a whole lot of people will. So anyway, Andy, back to the WWE Network. As you mentioned, they're pushing it like crack. And the reason I say that is because this past Monday, they were saying, you know, you can get the network for free. You don't even have to give us your credit card information, which normally they make you. Yep. Because then you get the 1 week free trial and they automatically charge you. And they try to get people who forgot about it. All you need is an email address. So are they in desperation mode?
They are in desperation mode. And this is why I believe it. They have to give the sub counts here shortly. I don't know the exact date. It wouldn't surprise me if they have to give it. They have to give it out to the shareholders like on Monday. That would not surprise me. Mm-hmm. If they do, and it turns out the subscriber count is super low, as in maybe it only increased to 700,000, technically the network's a bust. If it increased, even if it increased to 1 million, they need to hit that 1 million four mark. So what are they doing this weekend? Of course, what was it on Tuesday? They did main event and they had a CM Punk special as well. And then they had the Legends Marathon on Wednesday. And of course they had the, you know, Total Diva stuff and NXT and Superstars on Thursday.
And they showed Monday Night War on Monday right after Raw. And, you know, they did it because I think that's going to be one of their biggest programs, one of their biggest shows. And, you know, they really are pushing it. And I actually agree with your assumption that they're trying to get the subs up. And, you know, I mean, it's not a bad thing. I like the network. I think the network is a tremendous value. And anybody who's a wrestling fan needs to have the network. In fact, anybody who has any interest in wrestling, in my opinion, should buy the network. I'm not saying that because I get any money. I don't. I just think that's really good value. It is a little surprising, though, that they have to push it this hard. I think that I think time will tell. I think that this is something that fans do want. And it is a good value. It just really depends, though, at the end of the day, are they making money off of it? And if not, then it might not be something that they can sustain.
But the thing is, hypothetically, let's just say that the network tanks and then we don't have it in a year. Do you think that someone will come out with their own version of the network?
What do you mean by that?
As in basically someone who is getting it for $10 a month, a pirate comes along and says, hey, I'll charge you guys $15, and since you got to pay $50-some for the pay-per-view, just pay me, and I'll run a better network, and it won't be censored.
I don't think that that's going to happen. Here's what I think. I think if the network fails, I think what WWE will do is they have to have all these servers up and running in order to present the content. I don't think the content will be there. I think what it'll be is it'll be $10 a month for the pay-per-views. And then they're going to have specials that you can get for a limited time. So, for example, let's say the top 10s or whatever. Oh, hey, we're going to have 5 top 10s this month. And then once they're gone, they're gone. That's it. You have a limited amount of time to see them because there's a limited amount of bandwidth that we have. And so they can't keep that massive library up and running all the time. I think that it could be a limited thing, and that'll help save them money, or the price is going
to
go up.
Or they might just decide to do a Netflix type thing and not have a live channel the entire time. Which
and I think that they don't need it.
Well, here's the other thing I thought was interesting. I missed a good chunk of the Monday Night War preview. Did you watch it live?
I got to see some of it, but not all of it. Well, I'll watch it this weekend.
Oh, good luck. You can't watch it.
And why is that?
It's because they decided to run it just that one time. And you can't, if you go through the vault, if you go through the originals, the in-ring, it's not there. And the
really?
Yes. And I thought you knew about this. Okay.
I did not.
So this upset me a lot because I figured, hey, I'll just watch it, you know, Tuesday. I got to do a bunch of paperwork at work. I'll have it go because that's not a visual thing to me. That's I like hearing the audio part of it.
Sure.
So I go and I was like, I spent like 20 minutes. I was like, where's this at? And it was getting me really mad. Of all the things to get mad at, that was it. So finally, I sent the WWE Network tweet on our Twitter account, and everyone else was asking the same question. I believe that it's not on there right now because I think on Monday they're going to finally release it after people who had the sub, if they missed it, it's an incentive for them to buy the network just to see that episode. If someone's like, oh my gosh, did you check that out after Raw? It was so awesome. That's why I believe that that's one of the tricks they did as well. But it only stinks that it's only for like, you basically ends, I think, on Sunday or Monday or whatever it is. And the thing that stinks about that is that I was going to have like 5 different email addresses, you know, just because.
Yeah. Anyway, Andy, one of the things I know you really wanted to talk about were that some talents, their royalty checks, they're not receiving quite the amount that they used to be receiving. And so I know that you had a lot of information about this.
Well, with the video game sale, and this is the big one, the video game sales, most of the time, top superstars would get around $70,000, you know, give or take, which is a lot of money. And, you know, and even at one point, I remember hearing that they got around $40,000 for the quarter. That's a ton of cash. Well, the thing is, WWE 2K14 stunk. It was not a great game at all. Not even close. Well, I think their royalty checks showed it. I think that's what it really is. Some people were, you know, got around 11 grand. And then some people got around 1500 as well. Not a lot of money when you're so used to getting those big checks. And if you were getting, you know, we'll just say $200,000 in royalty checks alone just for that video game, and now you're not getting anything, it does hurt the pocketbook a lot.
Well, and especially if you're expecting a certain amount, if you were typically getting 70 and now you're getting 10, that's a pretty big drop there. And, you know, I can definitely see why superstars are upset about this. On top of it, too, there's new fines that are involved. So if you're getting less money for your royalty and then on top of it, you're going to get fined because you're late to the arena, like just by a couple minutes, or if you're not dressed a certain way, you know, it's going to hurt the pocketbook. Andy, speaking of which, let's talk about WWE programming this week. So Roman Reigns is continuing his push to stardom. For the past few weeks now, we've seen him standing tall week after week. So leading up to WrestleMania, we had instances where Daniel Bryan was beat down, and then maybe the next week he'd get one up on Triple H, and then he'd get beat down the following week. Roman Reigns has not really been beaten down at all. In fact, he's pretty much been owning the crap out of everybody for the past few weeks. What is your take on that?
They're making him unstoppable. I mean, look at Rusev. I mean, he wrestled Rusev. Of course, he won, you know, by a DQ. But I think they're making him almost, you don't want to Ryback it. And that's pretty much what I see is going to end up happening. But the thing is, Ryback was a heel at one point, you know, then he was a face and a heel.
Ryback, though, they pushed him immediately to the top. I mean, they had him taking on all these jobbers and squashing the crap out of him. And Roman Reigns, at least, he was with the Shield for, you know, a year and a half before they broke him up. In fact, it was actually almost 2 years before they broke up the Shield. And so you did something like that where, you know, he was his own. He was a part of a group, and now he's his own man. So they're not pushing him terribly fast. But once they broke up, I mean, you can tell that this is the guy that they're behind. And so for them, it's Roman Reigns or bust, pretty much. Do you think that it, let me ask you this. Do you think it's going to be a bust?
As much as I would love to say that it is, I don't think it's going to be, because as we've seen in the past, guys who have a very small moveset are the ones that are the most popular. I mean, when you see a guy who does have a huge moveset, like Daniel Bryan, they bury him and bury him and bury him. And then finally, like, you know what? I think we're going to push you. Oh, then you find out that he's hurt.
Well, it's, you know, it's having that look. And Roman Reigns definitely has that look, don't you think?
He needs to take an acting class.
Well, I
multiple agree there. Acting classes.
But he's still got the look, though.
But see, even, okay, here's the thing. When John Cena came out, he could speak. That was his best. That was the best part about him. He could talk. Roman Reigns, he can't wrestle. He can't talk.
He can barely wrestle. He only has like 3 high impact moves, which is fine. And that's all that he really needs. He can't really talk. And I agree with you there. But he has that look, you know, and John Cena had a look and he obviously could talk and he was able to get over that way. So, I mean, you obviously see him as somebody who they're going to build the company around.
But the
don't
thing
you?
Is, you need at least 2 of those of the 3, the look, the basically speech and the wrestling. If you have 2 of the 3 of those are the guys who have done something. When you have 1, that's it. You have a look. How many guys have got by just on their look and nothing else in wrestling? They can
Ultimate Warrior.
Okay, you got me.
I got it.
Because he couldn't speak and he couldn't wrestle. Okay, all right. Well,
yeah. Well, I mean, he had a look. And that was it. You know, and actually, I'm glad that we brought this up, because you know what? Roman Reigns is the Ultimate Warrior. Because when you think about it, Ultimate Warrior had high impact moves, plain and simple. And granted, he didn't love the business and he wasn't very good at what he did. But Roman Reigns, though, you know, he does his kick to the outside. He does the Superman punch, which obviously the setup for is really great. And then he does the spear, which is just this generic hug that he does. But nonetheless, it's still high impact moves, just like Ultimate Warrior. And when you see him come out, people are excited for him, just like with Warrior. I mean, we love seeing Warrior come out back in the day. He was shot out of a cannon and it was fantastic. And Reigns, I believe, is kind of in a similar way. I think that he's the type of guy who, he's not going to be a flash in the pan. He's going to be around for a while, but he is not going to be the type of performer that we see in a John Cena, who, even though I don't like Cena, he's a better performer, I think, than Roman Reigns.
But do you think that he'll last very long? And because he's in a hat, because remember, Ultimate Warrior lasted for a little bit. And the thing is, I believe that if Ultimate Warrior would have stayed consecutively in the WWE for like 5 years, you know, let's say at least 5 straight years he's in the WWE and he kept wrestling and wrestling. I believe that when he got towards the end, people would be like, oh, okay.
I think Roman Reigns has 10 years in him.
I don't.
I would say 10 years. What would you say?
If you're going off the look, I bet he has 3 more years.
Really?
Yep. Just because of the look. Now, he could change. The Rock was, I didn't think he was the greatest on the mic, but his mic skills improved over time. Roman Reigns has improved slightly. Just slightly.
And you know what? He can get better. And look, and the thing is, it's not like I'm a Reigns supporter or anything, but if I'm looking at, you know, people you're building a company around, I do think that Reigns has a look, and I think that he's somebody that if you can teach him to speak properly, that he can actually give an okay promo. I mean, Jeff Hardy can't give a good promo, but he's got tremendous charisma and he's really good in the ring. And I think that if you can give Reigns enough of a promo, then he is able to do well. And, you know, you may have to do stuff backstage with him instead of being out in the ring. But anyway, Andy, we spent a lot of time on Reigns. Let's talk about some mid-card feuds that are going on right now. In particular, there's 2 I kind of want to highlight. Ziggler and Fandango are feuding. I mean, what do you think?
Well, when did he change it from Fandango to Fandango? I mean, he changed it.
Does it really matter what
we call
it?
Well, yeah, because on commentary, he called himself Fandango. And I was like, not Fandango. But Johnny Curtis has done something with it. Dolph Ziggler reminds me way too much of Mr. Perfect. He's wrestling Fandango, which is Disco Inferno. a poor man's Disco Inferno. Well, I don't know if it's the other way around or not. But anyways, okay, so this feud is actually getting interesting. And I know what's going to happen here, and you can stretch this over a little bit. Ziggler and Summer Rae are going to get together, and then they're going to take on in a mixed tag match, Layla versus Fandango. And yeah. And realistically, if Dolph does not come out on top, I will be very upset.
I think that this is proof that WWE hates Dolph Ziggler, because he is a former world heavyweight champion that is now feuding with somebody who is the equivalent of a European champion.
Jack Swagger?
Swagger is actually doing very well for himself because they put him in a good feud. I mean, I hate to say, but honestly, like, I've never thought I would ever say this, but Swagger's actually on his way up. You know, like, I mean, he is. But anyway.
Did you think that the main event match with Ziggler and Del Rio, do you think that was... I'm sorry, that was on Raw.
That was on Raw.
Do you think that that...
It was a main event type match. I mean, it was actually a good... good match. Like, and that's the thing too. So they put Del Rio in this match, and you know, I pretty much knew that Del Rio would win, but Del Rio has been putting on better matches because they have not been and doing better promos because they haven't been shoving them down our throats like they've been doing with other people. And I think that's the biggest thing. When you don't shove somebody down your throats, people are more likely to like them. You know, Reigns is a good example that the reason why he was able to get over when he was with the Shield is because he was good enough and you did not make him the centerpiece of everything.
All right. Now, the other thing I was really happy about is that Cesaro and Kofi are getting into a small program, which I hope they wrestle at the pay-per-view.
Probably will, seeing how Kofi is now 2-0 over Cesaro.
Correct. So, and I like the fact that they've been putting on some decent matches, and you got to give Kofi credit. He's basically making Cesaro look like $1 million. I mean, Cesaro's a great wrestler, don't get me wrong. And I believe that their match at Battleground, if it does happen...
They're in the IC tournament.
That's right. IC,
yeah.
The Battle Royale.
Yeah.
So I hope that they wrestle still at some point. They're probably... I hope they do it on a pay-per-view, but maybe they'll do it on main event. You never know.
Yeah. I actually think that this is bad for Cesaro. I think that Kofi is so far down on the totem pole that this makes Cesaro look weak. The fact that he's lost twice to him. I mean, Kofi is one step above Fandango, in my opinion. Like, if I'm looking at like the last two that we're talking about, Ziggler and Fandango, and then we have Cesaro and Kofi, I'm going Cesaro, Ziggler, Kofi, Fandango. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm stack ranking them, and maybe I would have Ziggler get a win over Cesaro. Actually, that'd be a better feud, to be honest. Cesaro and Ziggler. Put them in a feud. And have Kofi and Fandango feud. That actually is better. That is much better.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, knowing that WWE listens to the show, Fandango, Kofi, Cesaro, Ziggler.
All right. All right. We'll see what they do. They might do a tag match is what they'll do at first, you know, leading up to Battleground. But
so, Andy, WWE, they have SummerSlam coming up. It's actually 7 weeks from Money in the Bank to SummerSlam. So SummerSlam's actually only a month away right now. It's 6 weeks away now. And it's only 2 more weeks to Battleground. So it was 3 weeks from Money in the Bank to Battleground. I got to ask you, what type of matches are you looking to see at SummerSlam?
I would hope they would do Triple H versus Roman Reigns, but that's good. They're going to wait till Night of Champions to do that. I don't know if there's this a really one match that I'm really looking forward to. There's not one where I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to see this match. You know,
now you brought up, hold on, because you brought up something very interesting that I'm sure people are like, what are you talking about? Of course, Roman Reigns and Triple H are going to take each other on at SummerSlam. Why would it be Night of Champions, Andy?
Because your sub, if you subscribe day one, it would be, I think, August 21st. It would, your sub, you'd have to re-up for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you do that, then in order, and especially if they have like 3 good matches at Night of Champions, which I believe Brock Lesnar will come back by then, and they'll say that he'll be on that pay-per-view, then you gotta subscribe to the network because of that.
And I agree. I agree and I totally understand what you're saying. They have to do that. They have to make Night of Champions like the biggest pay-per-view. They really do, because otherwise what's the point? You know, I can just wait and subscribe at the next good pay-per-view. Because I'm actually considering that, too. When my subscription runs out, I'm considering canceling it until a next good pay-per-view.
Well, what about if they have the Monday Night War?
Then it's tough. But, you know, I might go without it for a couple weeks, you know?
You know what we forgot, of all things? Sting.
Yes.
Sting we posted a picture that's 7/14/14.
Mm-hmm. Which does he show up on Raw?
No. I bet he's going to be, if you pre-order, you know what? They might do something where if you get the WWE Network and then pre-order W2K15, it would be interesting if you get him for free then. If you have the network and you pre-order the game.
You know, I don't know, man. I can't even make an analysis of this right now. I think it's really good marketing. I think a lot of wrestling fans are abuzz about it because if he shows up on Raw, that's just weird, you know, to actually see him in a WWE ring. I don't know if that's going to be the case, though, but I'll tell you what, if next week, you know, we're abuzz about it, you know, so be it. So anyway, Andy, let's thank our sponsors.
HostGator, are you a blogger, a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try free download to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OffTheMark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. So let's talk about some Impact Wrestling this week. What happens, Aaron?
So Austin Aries, he won the X Division Championship. What do you think?
Really? Didn't they do this last year?
They did, yes. With him and Manic. He was Manic, yeah.
Yeah.
Suicide.
Whatever you want to call him. Yeah, so that's the thing. I don't get it. Aries, you basically put him in the doghouse, and then you say, hey, we're going to give you the X Division title. Does he cash in? What are we going to
do? I think so.
What is he going to do?
I think that, you know, depending on what they do, I know last year they had where he faced Chris Sabin, and at the 11th hour, Chris Sabin won the title back. And so then he cashed in and obviously won the title. I think that we'll see something here where Austin Aries, you know, he's going to maybe fight Sonata again, and, you know, Sonata's going to try to win the title back. That might be an interesting mini feud that they could have going on there. But I think Austin Aries does deserve this. Austin Aries is a world-class champion. He is a guy who I would pay money to see, and he's a guy I think who puts butts in the seats. He's good on the mic, he's good in the ring, and he has a good look. He, you know, is kind of the trifecta. The only thing he has working against him, so he's like 5'8", 5'9". I mean, he's tiny, you know, considering, you know, what everyone else.
And that's the sad part, because you'd think that more wrestlers would be, you know, like closer to 6 feet tall, but there's a lot of them that are short. I mean, I've been to an indie show where I was towering over most people, and I'm 6'2". And the guy I was with, I think, is 6 foot, and he was also towering over the wrestlers. So that tells you anything. And these guys they're all small, which is fine, but I see why the WWE passed on him. And, you know, and I know that's a knock against Austin Aries, because I believe that if he went there and they let him be himself, he would be not a CM Punk, but he would be, a poor man CM Punk, if that's not best way to explain it. But
yeah,
overall, I do like watching Austin Aries wrestle. He's a great wrestler. I mean, I can't say anything bad about him in that aspect. I mean, if the only knock you have against him is his height, that says something. You're like, well, yeah, if he was only like, you know, 4 inches taller, he'd be in the WWE, or he'd be, you know, here. Well, he's in TNA right now, so
let's, you know, support. And honestly, you know, if you compare him to Daniel Bryan, I think Aries and Daniel Bryan are probably on equal ground for their wrestling ability. I mean, obviously, Daniel Bryan has better technical, Aries has better flying, you know, but wrestling ability, just, you know, toe-to-toe, I think Aries and them are about the same. But Aries gives a better promo than Bryan. I mean, Bryan, he's gotten better. He's gotten a lot better. But I think Aries gives a much better promo.
You know what? I think you're right. Daniel Bryan has improved. But yeah, Aries, his promos are good, and they you don't hear a lot of what's when that's happening. And of course, Daniel Bryan, everyone shuts up. By the way, so does same thing with Roman Reigns. But anyway, so Bully Ray confronts Rhino about what Rhino did last week, which I thought was really interesting. Rhino spears Bully Ray, and
you know,
gores him. I'm sorry, not a spear, but gore.
Yeah, because it is. here's the thing. All right. When we're ordering spears, we have Goldberg's because it's super iconic and it was like perfect for what he did. And then we have Rhino, and then we have like a blank spot than everybody else, you know,
Edge,
because Edge's running hug. Yes. I mean, and Batista's horrible spear, and then Christian's. I hate that they give spears to these people who do not need them. I mean, they don't. They really don't need them. Goldberg's was really great, and Rhino's is great. And I like Rhino's. I think Rhino's is perfect for who he is, the type of guy that he is. You know, anyway, that's me digressing. But let's talk about Bully Ray. He confronts Rhino. Rhino comes out, beats the crap out of him, and then Dreamer comes in and makes the save. So we're seeing kind of an ECW reunion, so to speak. Do you think that they're going to have more ECW people come?
Because of where they're taping, you kind of have to. Because people want to see that wrestler come back. They're like, oh my gosh, he's, you know, we're in ECW country. We got to bring this guy back. Okay. It would be different if they're in, we'll say, Phoenix, and they decide, hey, let's bring like five ECW guys over. They're not going to get that loud pop that they would like if they're in Pennsylvania or even New York.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fine that they do this. Dreamer, I heard that he was only going to do a short program anyways. That's great. He came out. Everyone saw him. Yes. Great. Go Dreamer. And I find it interesting also that Dreamer's still cool. He's on TNA, but he's also cool with the WWE where he was shown on the Hall of Fame. He actually saw him, which I thought was intriguing because he was still working for TNA as an agent then. But
I think that he's probably in good graces, I think, with both companies. I think that he hasn't stepped on any toes. He hasn't done anything wrong. And I don't think that there's any ties that are being severed. And I think that's very important because you take a look at somebody like Bully Ray, who obviously was not the most well-liked guy backstage. And I'm sure that he probably is a little bit of a jerk in real life, but he's somebody who WWE, there's probably people who'd be like, yeah, you probably shouldn't bring him back. I don't want to see him back here. But Tommy Dreamer, or maybe even a Kurt Angle, you know, those are people who they can go back and forth and not have any issues.
And, you know, one thing about Kurt Angle, which I thought was interesting, is that his contract expires in September.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, and he said he's not decided where he wants to sign yet. Do you think?
I think he'll do an extension.
You think so?
He said
he has 1 year left and that's it.
I think he'll go through Bound for Glory, and then I think he'll go back to WWE. Because I think he's going to
come back in the Royal Rumble.
I think that he's going to do something at WrestleMania. He'll just have a match. Doesn't have to be anything like super big. He could just have a one more match type deal with like a Jericho or a Triple H.
Nope. I got it. Angle Steen.
That could be interesting.
Mm-hmm. I believe it would be one of those that, you know, you do EWR for and you just hope that it's going to be a great match, or you load up W2K14 when it's on clearance for $10 on Xbox Marketplace. But anyways,
what?
Well, hey, if W2K14 was available for like $10, I'd go buy it.
So anyway, Andy, Jeff Hardy wins a 20-man battle royal to face Lashley next week. And he actually came out as Jeff Hardy, not as your boy Willow. So I got to ask you, is this the last we see of Willow?
I hope so. I'm over with Willow. Who cares?
You're over with Willow? You mean you're over Willow?
I'm over Willow. I'm over just like Willow it was.
You know, so, some people liked him. I didn't care for him. But anyway, Andy, Jeff Hardy, Bobby Lashley. I mean, does it excite you at all?
No, I could care less. Bobby Lashley, the only reason he's champion is because he had to be champion. There's no other way to explain it. It's like, who do we put the strap on? Well, we have Bobby Lashley, which, by the way, I think I was a little too hard on him recently. He's decent, but it's Bobby Lashley. You know, F5, spear. I mean, at least he can put on a decent match, whether or not it's not Eric Young who's taking care of that. But, oh, well.
But the thing is, Bobby Lashley is actually at least a big, intimidating guy that they've been billing as such, and they've really booked him pretty well, I think, to make him that intimidating factor. I think he kind of won the title too quickly. Obviously, MVP was supposed to win the title. We know that now, and it would have been a lot better had he won the title. But where we're at right now, Jeff Hardy versus Bobby Lashley. Honestly, Bobby Lashley, I don't believe that there's many people in TNA that can believably beat him, in my opinion.
You'll have to have someone do it as a fluke.
Bobby Roode, Samoa Joe.
Bobby Roode, but see, the thing is, Bound for Glory, what are they doing for that? Have they announced it? Because it's going to have to be Roode versus Lashley of Bound for Glory.
Well,
how are they getting to
it? I don't think that they're doing the point system this year. I think that they're going to do a tournament.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I think that's what they'll do. They're going to do a tournament. And you know what? I actually like the point system. I thought it was good. And I thought it was really nice that you did the final four. And then those are the four people that, you know, went on to see who was going to face the champion. I like that. Bound for Glory was actually, and it's a good name for a pay-per-view. I like it. But anyway,
where's Robbie E at, by the way? Is he in Bound for Glory this year?
Oh, he's got to be.
Hey, you know, I want to give kudos to TNA on something that I can't believe I'm doing this, but production. They've done something that I always thought that they should do because it would make it seem more realistic. But when they do their backstage vignettes, WWE would do something where, let's say, Cesaro's music was playing because he just won, and they cut backstage and they still have the music playing in the background, even though that was a pre-taped segment. Mm-hmm. That made it seem like it was live. They've been doing that, and it'll actually, I watched from last week's, I rewatched it, don't know why, and I started listening to it. I was like, did they do that? So I went back to a couple weeks because they're still on the DVR. They were doing that, and it was something small, but it made sense to me. And I thought them doing that, taking the time to add that in after the fact, you know, I'll give them some credit. They did a good job producing it, so. Whoever it was that produced it, you got to give him kudos. I don't know. It's probably some intern that came up with it. But anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AltheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.